When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Grey's Anatomy's Anatomy, a Grey's Anatomy podcast here on Post Show Recaps. This is season 19, episodes 8 through 12, aka the March episodes. This one's coming out a little late, but the Grey's love continues. The season's not over yet, so we have a lot of ground to cover. My name is Ariel, not a doctor, but you know, with all these years I've been watching Grey's Anatomy, everybody knows I'm kind of consider myself a doctor. I'm here with my other fake doctor co-host. It's Chappelle. What's up, Chappelle?
It's me, chief of cardio, or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever the flavor is of the day.
Yeah, whatever the flavor is of the day. Ariel, I'm excited. I'm happy to be back, especially because my queen is back on these episodes. She's going through, but I mean, y'all, Addison is back.
And Addison, I can't wait to get to talk to her episodes. But yeah, seeing her for sure, my heart is always full when Addison is on the screen, even though, as you said, she's been kind of going through it. Some of these episodes, she was in a previous episode or a couple of episodes, actually, previously in the season that we briefly talked about. So it's always a pleasure to see her. These are the March ones. We have five to get through. We know there was one at the beginning of April, but that's not for now. That's a tomorrow problem. That's the ER is full. We have triaged. So these are the patients that we need to focus on. These five episode patients and the other patients, they're stable for now and they can wait until next time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Grey's does that too. You know, Grey's will have the three characters that we care about and a whole hospital of people who I assume are just actually like receiving care and living. Because it's like these doctors are the best in the business and they're constantly killing. I mean, not killing people, but you know, people are constantly dying around them. So I have to assume the rest of the hospital is doing okay.
Right. It's not quite like murder, but like, you know, sometimes unfortunately things go wrong because they're human and they have emotions. And the show loves the emotions. So yeah, five episodes. This is our third episode now, so I'm excited.
Yes.
And like I said, this is we're just gonna go episode by episode and do, you know, a little bit of a recap. And see how we find ourselves at the end of this and what we're looking forward to, because really it'll be April and then the season will be over in May, so it's really only, I would say, like six-ish more. Well, let's see, that puts us at 12 13, so like maybe we'll get to like 20 or 22, so we actually have a good amount of runway to get through. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, not to jump the gun too much, but I'm assuming after the season's up, we do have to talk about Kelly McCreary because
there
was an announcement made.
The headlines, baby. The news on the outside affects the hospital, even if it's not real, or even if it's from the real world into the not real world. But yes, she's leaving, so we're tracing her storyline for sure. We love a good like, how did they did they know ahead of time? So are they able to kind of like write her out in a way that feels satisfying? She's already been on the whatchamacallit, on the ropes, if you will, on the on the rocks,
circling
the drain with her husband, Dr. Ndugu. She doesn't respect him and there's no coming back from that.
And it shows. Ariel, look, it's very clear. I've been very upfront that I tapped out of Grey's a few years ago and I haven't caught up all completely. But I did go back to start, you know, trying to catch back up to where I am, because I want by the time we get like midway through this series, I'm like, okay, I haven't missed that much. Mm-hmm. But what I have missed is this Maggie and husband saga. And so I'm learning a lot of these things for the first time. Like, it's very clear she does not respect this man because he keeps telling us And I'm very excited for you to kind of fill in those blanks for me, because I, for one, am about sick of this storyline, and I've only been here for 5 episodes.
Yeah, it's for some, like, some of the people are busy complaining about Owen and Teddy, but this one, you know, this is the, for me, this is the real Owen and Teddy. Like, this right here, yes. It's just, like, they're both good actors, so I'm compelled, you know, like, personally on an emotional level, but also I'm like you said, he's repeating himself. It's that, what's that classic line, like, when somebody tells you who they are, in this case how they feel about you, believe them.
So yeah, like, Maggie, girl, let it go, stand up. Like, this man don't want you no more, let it go. She's like, I need to fight for this. Do you
She's Ariel. Asking everybody, she's asking everybody.
Yeah, and everybody's like, well, girl, I guess, I don't know, but
like, Ariel, oh, you were with him.
If this woman leaves this show because of this man, I'm gonna lose my mind. You mean to tell me Black Ray leaves the show because of this man?
No, absolutely, it can't not. Be it can't be that. If anything, he either way it would be bad. Like, it'd be bad if she left and he stayed, and her leaving had to be like, I have to need a clean break. And it'd be worse if he left also for some reason, and she's like, I need to chase him because it's love. That would not be fun.
Not to get too far, again, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but any world where one of these people don't make it out alive, like, are we, like, are they writing her off the show, or are they going to take,
I mean, they haven't
Maggie out of the show?
Take Maggie from us. That's from a good point, because as we know, and as we got into at various points, they love to take the people from us. So sometimes that's what it takes, right? Sometimes it doesn't make sense, or they can't make it make sense, I guess, for themselves that this person would leave. So they have to kill them off, which sounds so brutal, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. I'm actually, now that you've said it, I'm all in for a Maggie death. And I know that sounds crazy harsh.
It does. That sounds horrible. Ariel, say, but the thing is, like, it's like, what's the alternative? She's like, I'm just so distraught that my marriage didn't work out that I ran off with Meredith and my Black niece. Like, what are you, like, what really is happening here? Like, that's
true. I'm moving to Baston. Oh, I can't wait to get to that. I think it's the first episode, second episode. They had the people from Baston. I was like, this is too much. Why are they making fun of us like this? But you're right. I mean, again, Maggie death. let's marry
it's a little attractive. I don't like it, but at the same time, it's like, it'd be interesting, you know?
Right. It wouldn't be boring. We know this.
It would not be boring.
I'm gonna cry. I already know. I mean, unless it's about the guy.
I'm if it's about him, I might cry. I'm like, dear God, why are you doing this to her? She's such a good doctor. Now you want to, like, you know, reduce her to this man's like ex. It's like, don't do that. Just kill her.
Yeah, no, it's not true. Especially when he used to work for her, even like back in medical school. Like, that's part of the deal. Like, he was her assistant anyway. So really, she should have known anyway.
Yeah. And quickly, so she doesn't respect him because he wants to switch careers.
He wants to switch specialties so that they stop getting into arguments.
Wait,
so, like, it's not even, it's not even that he feels, you know, there is a long history on the show of people, like, you know, deciding, I want to switch specialties because, you know, I need to be inspired, or I really see myself as this now. I made a mistake, yada, yada, like, variety of reasons. This is just like, oh, I'm getting into arguments with my wife. Maybe I should switch specialties.
It's just specialties. Ben Warren went and became a firefighter. Like, you know, like, what the hell?
He wasn't very good. He was running around the hospital.
Yeah. Like, sir, you should have stayed at, what was he, an anesthesiologist? You should have stayed at back in the day.
He had a lot of jobs. I don't know about this one. I have to be honest. I don't really I think it's lovely, but I don't really respect him either.
I can't respect that.
Because it's just like, why shouldn't we find a way to work together? Or at least it would make even more sense for him to be like, this is my dream come true, the specialty. And now I have some, like, maybe I should get another job, at a different place.
Yeah.
But instead he's like, I'll just become, like, I don't know.
I've been thinking about peds, like,
right? An anesthesiologist, like, maybe.
Have you been to the dermatologist wing? Is really where it's at. And which we know it is.
Which we know it is. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we've seen it ever since.
Maybe I would be there daily. Okay.
Yes. Day. With the, like, mint water or, like, lime water, whatever they had.
Right. Like, they're doing facials and shit there. I want it.
so many undiscovered, underdeveloped parts of the hospital. Okay, let's get into episode 8 for starters. As we get into our recaps here, again, this episode 19 or season 19, excuse me, episode 8 called All Star. The interns are moving in. At the end of last episode, they all got their keys. It was lovely. I almost cried. Now they're moving in, but there's no furniture really, right? So they're really poor, and it's fine because there's like a hole in the ceiling, and or not in the ceiling, but like on the top of the house. So it kind of makes sense that they wouldn't have furniture yet.
Yeah, this is the cute montage that we get. it kind of reminds you of our back when we got our interns. Mm-hmm, and they all were living together, and they're all like, you know, paying bills and not paying bills.
Listen,
you know,
this show is like, they're like emotional terrorists. They're pulling on our heart, our memories and our heartstrings. Like, they don't even have to do that much. They're like, just make it look like season 2.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Make him wear the shirt Alex wore. You know, it's like, oh my God, this feels normal. This feels right.
Exactly. And we fall for it. We're like, this is amazing. I love it. Full circle moments.
All we need. Just now they have to dance it out. If they dance it out, I'm going to cry.
And they you do. Know, like... And they do later. Oh my God.
But yes. Okay. So one of the big storylines in this episode is, Altman is trying to quiet quit this chief job that she applied for, but now she's not really sure she wants. And the chief is like, hey, did you make a decision yet about the thing? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not great. And he's like, okay, I thought you were interested. And she's not really sure.
I love Teddy. I want to go on record and say that I love Teddy. I don't care what everybody else feels about Teddy. That's my Teddy. That's my doctor. I love her. However, when Teddy says she wants to be chief, I'm thinking, I mean, yeah, know your worth, girl. But also, you know, Teddy, this job is horrible. This hospital is awful. It's cursed.
And everyone told her. She's like, listen, I did my own research. I spoke to Meredith. I spoke to so-and-so who also had the job, like a bajillion characters at this point. She's like, it was very stressful. Dr. Bailey had like 4 heart attacks. Yes. I don't know if I want this. So yeah, there was no, if there's not major incentives, why would she want it? But she's onto something here, clearly, as the episode will bear out, as far as like she has leverage, whether she realizes it or not.
Yeah. And then we see, of course, you know, like she's negotiating the whole time. You know, she's like trying to figure out a way to make this work. Bailey, of course, has the in on that because she's done this before. Mm-hmm. And then Amelia comes in and saves the day. Thanks to Bailey. And look,
this is incredible.
I love the scene so much because Amelia shows up.
And I knew it. I knew when it was happening. I knew exactly what was happening. I was like, this is incredible. I'm so happy.
Everyone knew but Teddy and Dr. Weber because Amelia's like, oh, I need a 200% raise and all this money. And I went over and checked this other hospital and see how much they were paying. And I need executive assistance and I need full transportation. And Weber is even confused. He's like, "What? Don't we have our own lab?" She's like, yeah, but I want to go to other labs. And so so eventually he's just like, okay, I already hired Teddy.
It's like, all of a sudden Teddy's looking real, real wonderful as a candidate. And of course it works. And then the minute Weber walks out after he's given Teddy what she wants, Amelia's like, oh yeah, I don't want the stupid job. Bailey just sent me in here to help you. So
right. Which is a cool moment, but also it's horrible, horrible timing. Teddy just got the worst job in the world at the worst possible moment. The next 5 episodes are Teddy in hell.
Yeah, no, it's not great. As usual, you know, somebody getting a new job, somebody getting a promotion always makes for that job being way more difficult than the person anticipated, because that's just how it goes on the show. Mm-hmm. So yes, at least she got the job, and that's wonderful. Elsewhere, the big patient storyline is Lincoln has this NFL patient, Jermaine, who plays for the Seahawks. Not that Joe knows what that means because Joe doesn't know sports. He's going to have some procedure for his ACL that's called Bear, like BEAR. It's something that's better than just regular ACL surgery. It doesn't matter. It's supposed to help him.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, because he's an NFL player, he's kind of famous. Everyone's taking pictures. It's all like very sweet. And we should have known from the beginning, this was like setting us up for heartbreak because it's all very sweet in the beginning. He's from Haiti. So like his family is still there, including his mom. And it's really sad because his mom can't be there. So they'd like been FaceTiming. In the end, unfortunately, he doesn't make it. It's very sad. doctors. I think it's, I'm trying to think of who it was with, I think it's Yasuda and no, it's Griffith who has to tell the NFL player's mother along with Quan. They decide that they're going to tell her together the very sad news of losing her son. And they want to do that kindness, obviously.
And they FaceTime her. She just breaks down. She knows the moment they FaceTime her that it's just a wrap. And I'm sad for this lady. I like you said, you should have known they were setting us up for failure because it's always the surgeries that should not kill you that are the ones that murder you on Grey's Anatomy. It's like, oh, you came in here for hiccups? You're going to die.
You know? I was just about to say, remember the hiccups?
Right, like, oh, you tore your ACL, you're dead. You know, like, what?
You're dead now.
I was
like, I'm trying to remember the, but yeah, the hiccups is definitely like at the top of the list as far as like thing that just turned crazy. But you're right. There's always like a, oh, it started with a pinky break, and then the sepsis spread, and then all of a sudden he got to lose his arm, and then it just kept getting worse. And you're like, oh my god, this is horrible.
Which is realistic, I guess, because it happens in the real world. Like complications happen with surgeries, in Grey's Anatomy, it's just like the smaller the issue, the bigger the complications. Like, oh, you have a hangnail, you're dead, bitch. You're like, whoa, whoa, ooh,
that's bad. This is the craziest hangnail we've ever seen.
Right, we've never seen this. Somebody call. So look, somebody get a consult on the phone.
Right.
You know.
Somebody get ortho in here.
Not ortho. Somebody go to the dermatologist wing. We have a hangnail.
Get some of that water for me and also page them. Let them know. No, it is very sad.
It's very sad. RIP.
It's very serious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not laughing.
We're not laughing at it. We're laughing at the show. Ndugu and Maggie, as we like kind of alluded to already, they're going through this thing. They're in what Maggie's calling a ceasefire, but all that means is that they're being awkward and they don't talk to each other.
It's like, and I really wish they wouldn't talk to each other ever again just because they are so annoying. They're so annoying. She's like, I wish you would save lives. And he was like, I don't want to save this marriage. She's like, damn. It's like, well, you know, we couldn't resuscitate him. Sometimes you can't resuscitate these marriages.
It's like, wait, what are we talking about?
Sarah, can you for a second be professional? Maybe you should change specialties because, y'all, what is happening?
This is so ridiculous. And then at the end, they're arguing and they're upset. And Maggie's like, I don't understand why you're upset.
It's like, because you won't leave this man alone. Let him change specialties and leave him alone.
It's wild. Okay, so we'll put a pin in that till next episode, fortunately for you. There's this wild storyline with the interns and this guy ate too much pho, like noodles and stuff. I'm just like, please no with this. I'm glad it didn't get like more graphic or gross because that was too much. Dr. Millen and Joe give this lady an abortion. It's like obviously becoming more of a storyline as we're moving forward in this season of just like women getting this kind of care and just any kind of like prenatal or OBGYN care is becoming really difficult for like obvious and real world reasons that I think the show to its credit is trying to like show how much more difficult these things are, even in places where such things are legal, because they're picking up the brunt of the care for places where it's not legal. So as you know, I know some people are like, oh, this is too real. It's happening in real life. I say, whatever. We should have to look at the consequences and like live with at least a fictionalized version of what is really happening.
I love when Grey's Anatomy goes into their like liberal agenda. Yeah. Give me more. Give me more. I don't care. We want to talk about gun violence here on Grey's Anatomy. We want to talk about, what was it? COVID? What was it? Cyber warfare? Here's on Grey's Anatomy.
The ransomware.
Ransom? Yes. I want to talk about, when it gets left, go left, Grace. Because
they do lean. They really do lean in.
They're like, this lady needs an abortion. It's like, okay. And it's like, but why does she need abortion? I'm glad you asked. Right. The condom broke. She wasn't prepared to have another baby. The first baby almost killed her. And so she needs this to save her life.
Postpartum. Like, she has
postpartum. And imagine living with that. And they're like, and you're kind of like, maybe I didn't think this all the way through. Maybe I didn't see that angle. It's like, well, in case you didn't, look what happened in the next episode. And now look at those reasons why you could get an abortion. And then on the next episode, like, and look at how crazy you look, like protesting abortion. And look how crazy you look now that one of the best surgeons of all time is like, got hit by a car. You learn from this, right, people? You know, I love it so much.
I love the foreshadowing. You're right.
It's so much.
Because it's been there since the beginning. And unfortunately, there was the very sad episode early in the season with Bailey and Addison, and they were in that, you know, with that woman in the car, and how like genuinely upsetting, all jokes aside, that whole thing was. That's exactly, unfortunately. And you know, it's been there the whole time. So definitely the escalation of where we get to, even in just these five episodes, is felt. And then I think the only other update, or a couple updates actually. So there's the intern romantic drama. Griffith and Adams are kissing, and Shep gets what I call the reverse Shepherd. Now he's the Meredith, right? So like, yay. Him and Griffith are like, oh my god, we're so happy, what could possibly go wrong? And then they walk into the house, and Yasuda is chilling with Griffith's fiance, or I guess ex-fiance from her past. And now he's the Shepherd, but he's really the Meredith, because he's like, oh my god, it's like Addison showed up all over again. I love this mirror that they did here.
Yeah, she's like, oh, so you're the one. You must be the one who's sleeping with my husband.
Exactly.
I'm like, yes, give her what she deserves. But yeah, this was weird because I wasn't expecting it. But again, Ariel, they know how to get us. They know how to get us.
We're like, wow, they're doing this again. And instead of being like, this is lame, we're like, this is amazing.
This is it. This is exactly what we needed. Find me a sticky note now, you know.
Wait, somebody gonna get married on a post-it? I can't wait.
I need that.
I need it now.
We really cannot do this podcast every month because this is ridiculous. We're having so much fun.
This is too much. Even once a month is too soon. And this is late, and it's still too much. Apologies for the lateness to everyone. Yeah. You know, it's just like doctors, we get sick too. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're just human. And then the other quick thing I'll mention is that Link and Joe are still in there, like, will they, won't they, catching feelings. And I think I think it was Joe who wanted it first, and then Link was, and then she kind of like backed off, and then now Link is like, oh, I think I'm feeling you anyway. So he lost the NFL patient, as we said earlier, so he's obviously very sad. And then him and Joe are chilling in the apartment, and they're getting drunk because obviously he's upset. And then he tries to kiss her, and she's like very understanding, and also clearly because she has feelings for him, I guess. He tries to get up. He's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And he tries to leave, and she's like, no, hold on. Your shirt is really tight. Just stay here.
Like, you're drunk, and so it's unethical, but also don't go.
But you also know? Don't leave. It's fine. Yeah. It was so wild. It's like, okay.
Is this our flagship Grey's Anatomy couple now that there's no Meredith to hang on to anymore? Like, is this the one we should be rooting for?
Because Link was already with
Meredith.
No, Link was already with Amelia at one point. Yes. That's how they have their kid together. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like raises his stakes a little bit, because he's been with, like, you know, she's closer to Meredith, right? So like, he moves up a little in that sense. Teddy and Owen.
Boy, don't you ever.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like, then Ndugu and Maggie.
No.
I guess it's Link and Joe, right? Because I love Joe. And like, she has an amazing moment at the end, like, that we'll get to in the later episode. But I think maybe, wow, I think you might be right. Yeah, I think Link and Joe have moved into the first position.
I love it. I think we need to keep a running tab on that. I mean, and there's no other, viable other option except for Griffith and her boyfriend.
No, yeah, the interns don't get, no, right? Yeah. I mean, they don't get first position. They don't get first
not
position.
At all.
Maybe one of the interns is with an attendee, but when it's cross intern, right. No, they stay stop at the bottom.
And who is this guy? What does he work? You know, like, I'm stop it.
Sucks. I hate Griffith's
fiance.
We don't like him.
Go away. No. Okay. I liked it better when she was cheating on you. Right. I mean, they were separated.
We move on to episode 9 called Love Don't Cost a Thing. Or is it Love Don't Cause a Thing? And I just wrote it wrong.
No, I thought it was Cost a Thing, but maybe.
I think it's Cause.
Is it Cause?
No, I think it was a Freudian slip.
Oh, okay. Like, you're like, what did love cause this time?
I know. I was like, ooh, is this like a pun on the Grey's Anatomy thing?
Yeah, I must say, if you remember correctly, you know, the Grey's Anatomy titles are all songs. And I
it
know
used to be. Yeah.
Shout out to Jennifer Lopez. Give her what she deserves here.
Yeah, the most famous example for me was Didn't We Almost Have It All? The third season finale for the Wii U song.
This is shout out to J-Lo, you know.
Shout out to J-Lo. Shout out to this number six line on that.
Right, NBA. Our Puerto Rican princess.
our Puerto Rican princess. Okay, yes, I have verified love don't cost a thing. So, okay, speaking of history, the interns are going to have a party at this house. At this house where there have been many parties, it's time to have a party because we just moved in and we still don't have any furniture. So it's time to have a party. But Griffith is too busy to plan the party because she's having a loud argument with her fiance and everyone can hear it. So no one likes that. And of course, Shep Adams is feeling the most weird about it because he was literally just making out with her when the fiance showed up. So that must be strange.
Griffith is the worst roommate. She is the worst because first off, you're trying to like, you're messing around with one of the roommates. Then you bring in your new boo, who's your old boo, and you start fighting extra loud in front of the roommate that you were just making fun of. And then you try to go back to the guy that you were cheating on your roommate, your fiance guy with, while he's still in the house. And then you're like, okay, stay in here while I sneak out so my fiance doesn't know that I was all over my roommate. Then, oh, now I'm going to have sex with my fiance really, really loud so that you can hear it. Like, Griffith, girl, what? What's happening here?
This is bad. Yeah, Griffith is a little bit messy.
I love her.
In fairness to her, I don't know.
That man don't got no house that they could go play house at?
He seems great. He seems not fun. I think his name is Chad. No, it's not actually Chad, but
right, he's giving big Chad energy. It's Trey, his fiance's name is Trey,
and très tragique as far as
yes. Well, where does he live? You know, why
it
are we
sounds
fighting
like he lives cross country, like right now, I don't think he has a place to stay. I think he flew cross country. I think she was in Boston? I don't remember. I remember being East Coast-ish, or at least somewhere far away. And so he, I think, is just staying with her in the meantime because they were engaged. But also, if you haven't talked to her in all this time, that's very presumptuous of you. Just stay here, right? Even though I haven't talked to you since you got kicked out and I didn't even follow you.
And first of all, she barely got a home. Like, she just became homed that True. Like as a family with all of these other people. Mm-hmm. Sir, if you had showed up a week before, just who knows where she was living. It's and so true. You could have got a hotel and then y'all could have had those arguments at the Holiday Inn Express. You know, you did not have to bring this in front of your roommates and coworkers. This is very tacky. Again, I love Griffith, so I don't care, but also I don't like him.
No, exactly. It's a bad look for her for sure. It's like minus points for her. And I just realized that that's just another layer to the like Derek and Addison comp of them of like she fled. And then the Addison portion, or in this case, Chad, what's his name? Trey didn't follow him fast enough and then followed her fast enough and then followed her later. So I just love that it's like history repeating itself. But yes, to your point about her people, I love when they're sitting in the backyard and he's judging her friends. And he's like, these people are beneath you. You're like supposed to be the best. And she said, don't you judge my people.
And he was like, well, will you marry me? She's like, yeah. Like, you are such a jerk. Why are you talking about my friends? Well, what if we got married? Okay, like, fuck them.
That's kind of how it goes, though.
Let me see the ring. Crazy.
Like, I don't have a ring. Or maybe he has the ring. I can't remember if he had a ring.
Yeah, he better have the ring.
She says yes, which is crazy. Because, like, as you said, her and Adams, right before that, her and Adams are making out in the room. And then her fiance comes to knock on the door. And then it's just her being messy, but whatever. We forgive it. We forgive her because it's Griffiths. But again, like you said, Trey ultimately proposes. So Adams is left feeling like, okay, so are we going to keep making out? Or
right.
Like,
I'm with him. I'm like, so is that going to stop anything? like I'm a firm believer in it. Ariel, I've told you this before. I'm a firm believer. You never let somebody else's significant other keep you from finding the love of your life. You know, like
especially not on this show.
Right. Like, okay, y'all are engaged, and we've seen those breaking up. We've seen weddings stop on the wedding.
We have seen people stand up during the wedding. Shout out to
he needs his ass
Williams.
Yeah. He needs his ass whipped. To this day, Jackson Avery, how dare you?
Jackson, what was that?
But yeah. Yes. So it's never too late. Okay. Yeah, whether with pre-marriage, late. Post-marriage, yeah. You can do this.
Yeah. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep giving her a smoldering look from across the room. Just she'll give in. Stop it.
Oh yeah, yeah. So elsewhere in the episode, we meet the depressing patient of the week. It's a couple. The woman has cancer. It's advanced. She's also a painter, and her cancer unfortunately has spread. And they're having a lot of money issues. Again, this is Grey's, a little bit to your point, Chappelle, being like, it's medical care is expensive. How are people going to pay for it? Let's get woke about it.
An agenda. I love it. Well, Grey's.
We stand the agenda. And Dr. Kwan comes in with the solution. He's like, yo, you just get a medical divorce and then they can't put the debt on you. And the couple's like, what?
And everybody else is like, Kwan, how dare you? You don't come in here pushing your own agenda on Grey's Anatomy. Like, where do you get off?
And he's like, fine. If you don't want me to help my patients, then I won't.
They come to him later on like, I'm okay, Kwan, we get it. We understand. You just really care a lot.
Yeah, and there's too much. And he went through a similar thing with his mom, we find out, and like how he feels about having to pay for those debts. And he literally said, it's like a noose around my neck, which is like super crazy to think about, but good for him for being like, I'm going to help my patients in any way I can. A ridiculous part of this episode is the Teddy and Owen dinner with Ben and Bailey. And it's awkward because somebody's kid bit the other kid. So it's already awkward. I can't even imagine that level of awkwardness where it's like this person that I made, or at least, you know, take care of, and I am their guardian, has now bitten this other child, or worse, been bitten by this other child. By like, and these parents are my friends. Like, how do you navigate that?
And it's hard to navigate it when you're too busy arguing about your own personal life too. Uh-huh. It's like, your child bit my child. It's like, yeah, but also, so you're my boss now. You're the chief of surgery, really? It's like, could you pass the butter? We could pass the butter after we talk about my paycheck, since you're my boss. Did you want to run that past your husband? It's like, aren't we here to talk about the kids?
These poor kids. Now we know why the kids are acting out, because the parents are just
look, y'all are doctors. Come on now. The home life is really starting to seep in and start to ruin. Maybe if y'all got y'all's life together, your kids will stop biting each other.
And that's kind of what Bailey says. Bailey is finally like, at first her and Ben are like, oh, we're not going to get involved. And Bailey's like, no, this is whack. This dinner is turning whack. I made pie. Ben, go get the pie. And also you two need to figure out your stuff, as you said, Chappelle. Levi, so back to the party. Levi meets this nurse outside the party. They chat. Honestly, this nurse was immediately giving me like, I'm a spy. Like,
yes.
I'm not, I thought this was like some weird like mole situation.
Mm-hmm. Like, who the hell? Like,
and who the hell are they? Yeah. Like, ma'am, where'd you come from? Who sent you?
Who sent you? And I'm like, it's Grey's. It's probably fine. Like, I don't think they have a mole, but I was immediately suspicious.
At best, she might have syphilis.
And you know that spreads. And we'll see in another episode. Some of these STIs, they do be spreading.
They do.
Maggie, poor Maggie. She's in her feels this episode. She's basically like asking the chief about his arguments with his wife. And it's like, how do you know that it's for real? Like, how do you know that you can survive? And he's like, listen, if at the end of the day, you know, you're arguing and you love each other still, then that's how you know it's real. She's like, and you can just tell by the look on her face. She's like, yeah, but I don't know if we still leave each other under that.
Yeah, like, you keep saying love, and I don't remember saying that word to you.
Me.
Right. And does it cause a thing? You know?
Can you, like, respect your husband if you think little of him?
Right. It's like, and if can I still love him if I don't respect him? Like, these are layers.
These are the layers.
Yeah. Which one matters more, love or respect? Let's just talk about it.
And the answer is they don't know. Joe and Link are doing their will they won't they thing still here. Like, Joe and Amelia have a little moment where Joe kind of asks her about Link, and Amelia's like, listen, we had sex, we have this kid. He wasn't for me, but maybe he's for you.
Right. Like, have you tried it? Like, I know you've thought about it, but have you tried it?
Literally how it goes.
Which, I mean, we were led to believe that this was the Will They Won't They from jump, right? When he first shows up in the series, it's like,
right, that's true. They were old friends. Yeah. They were old friends. That's true.
Oh, that guy, it's just Link. He's totally hot and smart and all the things, but I could never see him as a sexual
Him that way.
Like, he's such a brother to me, that guy who's just like attractive and also very smart and successful and everything that I, you know, would love to have in a man. Not him.
And have you thought about it?
Right. She's like, maybe.
I guess
I could try.
She's thinking about it because literally Amelia told her to.
Amelia does that though. She's definitely so that, the type to be like, go do this. And you're like, okay.
Yes. Yeah. She's a meddler. And I think, you know, for the most part, she means well.
We need it.
So like we said, Griffith's episode ends with her getting proposed to, which is wild because she's like, oh my God, yes. And we're like, really? And then the other thing that I really want to mention before we finish this episode is the dancing. You already teased it. So Helms came to the party, which I love bartender Helms. She's like my favorite
Helms.
She's
the best.
Around. Her and Yasuda clearly have a thing. Like, they had already met at the bar and Yasuda got like some surgical advice from her. And she comes to the party and they're vibing. And then at the end, when everyone has left the party and Adams is understandably like upset because he was kissing Griffith and Griffith's fiance was like, will you marry me? So he's clearly upset. Then they dance it out. Yasuda gets them up and they're dancing. And I was like, oh, Meredith and Christina would be so proud.
Yeah, this is, and I love the dancing out because it's always in slow motion. I have
That's how you know it's joyful because they're in slow motion.
And Christina used to eat that shit up. I mean, she used to just be like slow mo, like turns and the head, like she was in it. They haven't had enough tequila for me in these first couple episodes though. It's trying to get away from the Grays, like the spirit of Grays. They need I need some tequila shots coming soon.
We need the ghost of Meredith, which lives in the tequila and also in Christina's ghost as well.
You rub it like a bottle, like a genie.
Meredith comes out, she's like, I am here temporarily from Boston.
It's me. What would you mean to do an appendectomy?
I told you not to page me unless they were dying. Oh my God, ridiculous. Okay, that's episode 9. We're going to dance on out to episode 10. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Yes, they are. Speaking of songs, some of these I'm like, how did they never use the song before?
Right,
like,
how did we get this far?
And this was never one. Okay. So there is loud sex in the house, which we know that is a thing that, you know, people have to put up with in this house. Like, speaking of ghosts in the house, there's a lot of sex ghosts, right? Oh, there's like all the relationships and like Meredith and Derek, you know, I think they're the original having sex too loud and Izzy and George hating them. And lots of iterations of that. So Griffiths is super annoyed because she can't sleep and no one can sleep. And it's just like, it's Adams, of course, trying to now not quite get back at people, but also like move on. He's clearly upset, right? He's covering up his feelings. He's very much in his feelings, but he's not ready to confront them. So he's just trying to sex them out. Instead of dancing it out, it's sexing it out.
Right. And I mean, they're being dramatic. Like, I can feel it in my stomach. I feel it in my lungs. Like, okay. All right. It's probably good, but God, you're just being a little dramatic here. Stop it. And also, Griffith, you're the worst roommate because you were trying to have sex with this man in your house while your future fiance was outside the door. So you really can't judge here. Yeah. You kind of have to bite the bullet on this one because I don't think you've apologized to this man yet for accepting this other man's proposal hours after making out with him in the other room.
Literally see her being like, what do you mean? What do I have to apologize to you for? Like, I can't wait for that conversation.
Yes, because we know Adams is kind of simpy. He's a little
to have some of this will they won't they energy among the intern class, and clearly it's complicated by Addison, aka Trey, showing up, but like,
yes.
It's Adams can't stop, even though he's having sex with this, I don't know, basic person? Girl. Sorry. Right. For
we don't like you, ma'am. We don't. No. We really don't know her, but still, like, we don't know like her
at
her.
All. But yeah, the show is priming us to hate her, just like everybody else hates her. So
it was that stupid purse. I hated everything about it.
Yeah, and then she took this dude's mug. I was pissed about that.
Right, and then she brushed her hair out the way. Like, ma'am, get over it. Get over yourself.
Yasuda was the first intern whose name I learned, so you do not mess with her.
Right. Look, mine too. When I came back to Grey's, I was like, and who was Yasuda? You know?
We're so lucky to have her. Speaking of coming to Grey's, Catherine has returned to Grey's, the great Debbie Allen, playing Catherine Fox. She returns to Grey's Sloan for a surgical case. And it's not one that is easy for some of these male interns to handle. It's what's his name? It's Blue, Dr. Kwan, and Adams. And literally they have to perform surgery on this man's penis because he has like these calcifications, and it's not wonderful to imagine, but you know, they're doing him a solid. They're really helping this man out with this surgery. And with any surgery where there is an incision, there's a lot of blood coming out of this person's body, and Dr. Kwan cannot handle it, and he literally passes out mid-surgery. And then I thought this was unfair. They made Adams take him out. They were like, get rid of his body. And then Adams can't even get surgery.
Yeah, because Dr. Kwan's like, look, curved penis, no problem. But bloody curved penis, not for me. You know, and I'm assuming that Blue has seen a lot of blood. He's a doctor, you know. Yeah. So, but it was just something about the curved dick and the blood that really just took him out the game. So then Adams, of course, after this, like, okay, I guess I'll drag him out of here. It's like,
yeah, Blue was feeling very blue here. Our Dr. Kwan, he was feeling very blue about
seeing
the
blue. Well, being blue, seeing red, it was a lot going on.
It wasn't good. I felt bad for Adams here. And then at the end of the episode of their storyline, they talk, and Adams is definitely pissed, obviously, and rightfully so. He's like, "You owe me," as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see where that goes. I'm sure that'll come back into play. Elsewhere in the episode, Amelia treats this cancer patient whose whole family is basically pro-cancer, or not pro-cancer, but they think that, like,
wait, pause. Say that again.
It's not that they're pro-cancer. It's like they've all had cancer also, these sisters, and they're like, oh, it's no big deal. Welcome to the cancer club. But then they're carrying around their other sister's ashes, which we come to find out that's not even true. That's like cat litter. Crazy. But luckily this woman doesn't have cancer in the end. You know, the thing that they found, the growth was benign. So they're actually kind of disappointed that she doesn't have cancer. Ultimately, honestly, the thing that's most noteworthy to me here, though, are their ridiculous acts.
Yeah.
Bastin. I carry this box of ashes.
Yes. You don't have to be a big spender to get that kind of legal tender, because the lenders came to Linda. You know, I was dying.
I was like, what is this? And like, no mention of Meredith either. All this Boston talk. And no one's like, oh my God, how does Meredith understand these people?
Right. Like, yes, Linda. You know, I was dying. Access.
You have cancer. You got cancer.
Listen, like, came to Linda. I was like, yes.
I don't mean to make fun of cancer, but it's just the way they pronounce
but
it.
But we do make fun of these women's accents.
And it's just like, it's so cartoonish. Like, even for Grey's, it's like, who are these women who clearly have never been to Boston or heard anyone from Boston speak, but they're like, we'll hire all of them.
We need you today.
We need you today for the story.
you and you, come with me.
And bring that box with you.
Grab that box of kitty litter. Ariel, somebody just discovered this podcast out of nowhere, and they were like, what the hell is wrong with them?
Are we recording this?
The medical portion of this? Yeah.
This is bizarre. I honestly, minus points to Grace for this story. This is too much, the Boston accent. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, that didn't go on for very long. Elsewhere, Owen takes his... He did. Okay, this one is actually kind of interesting. So, fine, you know, he's suspended because he, you know, did some stuff. It doesn't even matter. But
right, what did he do this time?
Yep. I mean, in fairness to him, he was trying to help veterans, but he like basically helped them by like giving them, you know, how do you call it? Like extra medical care, like outside of the parameters, and like gave them the ability to like off themselves because they're suffering. So like,
you mean, you know, your mileage, the law on Grey's your Anatomy, mileage, like a doctor did that on this show.
Your mileage may vary on like whether you would have done the same thing, but like obviously he felt like it was right. Anyway, whatever. That's again to your point of like them being like, we need to talk about the military and how it doesn't take care of its veterans. So let's give Owen the storyline.
Yes, lean left.
Anyway, lean left. So he takes his medical future into his own hands and he appealed to the board of etc. And he was like, I want my medical medical license back. So he's appeal. So the appeal means that someone's going to come and monitor him and like, you know, follow him around for a day and decide if he can get his license back. Mm-hmm. So he helps out a patient in the ER. He has to do like some crazy gymnastics, you know, like to cut the guy and whatever. And he survives. The guy survives and it's wonderful. And the guy would have died had Owen not gotten involved. So we love that for the man who survived. It's great care. You know, Owen, problematic as he may be as a character, he can be good at his job. So we can't take that away from him.
Owen has been doing this since day one. He will rip the little pop top off of a soda can and cut you open with it and then use a straw and intubate you and all kinds of stuff in a heartbeat. Like, Owen will legit MacGyver your body in front of a million people in a lobby, in a hotel lobby if he has to, because of his trauma training, of course. And so it makes perfect sense for this to be his storyline. But Ariel, I love the people who are in, because this is a teaching hospital. But the people in the ER, and Owen shows up, he's like, yeah, this is a teaching hospital, but also I'm being monitored because I'm under investigation for breaking a car. But would you lie for me? They're like,
the guy was like, no, please step back.
Look, you don't have an intern that can do this. Like, I understand this man is a decorated surgeon, but also he just, like, can we just get somebody else? Anybody else?
Sir, this is a hospital.
Right, sir. And Grace always leads with, like, this is a teaching hospital. Do you mind somebody monitors? Yes. This time they say, this is a teaching hospital. Do you mind if somebody monitors this criminal? Is that-
Right. He's like, it's not because of anything malpractice. And you're like, okay, this is all sounding very suspicious.
It sounds like malpractice to me, but okay.
It's giving malpractice, but I'm not
goes home, ma'am, it gave malpractice.
Right. It was giving malpractice at the time.
I went to Mercy West because baby, it gave
malpractice. Oh no, R.I.P. Mercy West.
R.I.P. Mercy West.
So this, it works out great for him. He does his MacGyver thing like you said. And then at the end, Bailey has to like tell him about himself as Bailey is very good at doing. And she's like, you need to apologize for the things that you did do wrong and stop being defensive about the things that you did right. And Owen's like, what?
Look, at home, I was like, Bailey, do not yell at me because I am the king of being like, yeah, I was late, but didn't you love it? And you're like, yes, but you were late, but didn't you love it?
You know, like, love it? Wasn't it dramatic?
But did he die though? Because that's Owen's whole thing. It's like, okay, yeah, but people lived, right?
Yes, people lived, and I live to tell this tale.
Right, and
this
I get
this, hilarious.
Like, it's great.
And then Teddy and Owen have a lovely moment. I mean, listen, I'm always going to love Teddy. You were saying this before. I love Kim Raver. I love Teddy as a character. Her connection to Christina, like, honestly, can do no wrong. I don't even care. So this, like, a great actress like her getting to apologize, like with the half cry eyes, you know, like she's not really crying, but she kind of looks like she might be crying.
She does it so good though.
She does it so good. And they apologize to each other and they're best friend lovers again. It's wonderful.
But at the same time, Teddy, there has to be a world where we can do better than this, Teddy. Owen cannot be all you that has the world. Like Teddy has done. Do you know how many lives this woman has saved to be relegated to the life with Owen Hunt?
She said, I will always love you. That's what she said to him.
Yes, that's the title of the next episode. Wait, I'm sure they've already used that one. I'm sure they've already used that one, right? Like, that's...
not for nothing, this new hairdo for Owen is not it. Like, not that it was like ever it, but like, but this is most certainly not the one. Like, right, this
the
like
bar was in hell, and now yeah. it's like aligned.
Somehow it's at like the center of the earth, the bar, yes. and it's
like we need to go lower.
Right, because I know a woman with the same haircut, okay? And I do, and it looks good on her. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'll say. It looks good on her.
It does not look good on Owen.
It does not look good on Owen. Maybe no. if he did like a career change or something. Like...
Right, maybe if he just like left the show. Oh my God, wait, right. Is he leaving the show too?
Wait a minute.
I can't remember now. Hold on, yeah, Google that. Google that while I continue.
Yeah.
Okay, so elsewhere in the episode, we got some like Schmidt and Joe being friends again, because early on in the season, Schmidt and Joe were like on the outs because Joe is, you know, OBGYN, and Schmidt was for a while, but he was like, I need to change his specialty. You know, we've been talking about that. So now that Schmidt has like the hot nurse from the party episode to talk mm-hmm. about, Joe is like, ooh, we're besties again. And she's like all interested.
Where's the tea?
Right? She was so thirsty for the tea.
She's like, boy, you was boring, but now you got the tea. Now I want to know everything.
Tea, and I would like to sip it. And also let me go be a spy and find out about the nurse in his department from all my friends. And then I can tell you about him.
Yeah. And she has the tea. She says, I was like, okay, he went to Costa Rica to visit the sloths last year. Okay. Right. So you need to know that. I was like, Joe, I kind of love this a lot.
I love this Joe for sure. And then yeah. I think what was the other thing that he likes Star Trek instead of Star Wars, right?
That's like, don't get him mistaken, right? Okay. don't mess him up. I don't know what it means, but it also like it sounds like you should know.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. so that's fun for them. Unfortunately, Natalia from the last episode, her husband, the couple who got the like medical divorce, mm-hmm. Her cancer is now progressing. Of course, it's very sad, and it's too far gone at this point. There's literally nothing they can do. They do all the scans, and it's like we can't do anything for her. And Dr. Millen, I'm trying to think, it's Millen, not Millman, as I have said sometimes, who's like she can kind of be in this case, certainly in this specific part of her personality, she's a little bit like the Izzy, where she's like, she cares so much about the patients that she's like, there has to be something else we can do, we can't just leave her to die. And Dr. Weber's like, the good doctors are good at this part of their job, and he just walks away,
right? Like, but you should figure it out. I understand you're sad, but I don't really teach here anymore. I'm just kind of here. So.
Mm-hmm. He's just like giving advice and then disappearing yeah. into the brush yeah. like Homer
what
Simpson.
What does Weber get paid to do?
He gets paid to be amazing. Are you kidding me? He's like he's the only character that everyone still calls chief, even though
he could just be chief whenever he wants. Right? Yeah. Like, I think I'm going to be chief right now.
Right? I'm going to put my chief hat on. It's very sad. Rightfully so. He's basically telling her that's a good human thing to be doing, to be feeling that way. But also you need to obviously, you know, reconcile that if you're going to be a good doctor.
Yeah, I like Millman. I like Millen, her. Yeah, Millen, Millen. Like, I can't decide who I like more, Yasuda or her. Because they don't give them a lot of content, either one of them. Mm-hmm, and so but I like them both. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, if I have to have a new Meredith, who's my person going to be? Like, if we discussed that, like, now there's a void in Meredith.
I'm not ready.
You're not? Okay, we'll talk about it.
You're like, okay, fine. I'm saying I'm not ready to choose. I'm happy to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah. just, no, it's not time to choose. You're right. It's too soon. What was I thinking? the body is not even cold yet. Right.
The body is not even in Boston yet. Or, I guess it is. We're talking about it. But
yeah,
it's her box. She's still packing the cat.
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, so speaking of Richard, this is very serious and sad because it mm-hmm. involves Debbie Allen. And honestly, yes. I started crying because it was like Debbie Allen saying these things. And I'm like, oh God, not Debbie Allen. Don't take her right. from us. But at the end, you know, Richard goes to her. And it's actually, it was really, really sweet from his side as well. He's like, listen, I've been watching you. Like, I know something is wrong and I know you don't want to tell me. And obviously he's inspired by the couple who, you know, the woman had cancer and they had their divorce, and it was very sad because she wanted to spare her husband. And now he recognized that that's what Catherine was doing. He's like, but listen, I'm ready. I want to be there for you, and I'm ready to hear the news. And she tells him, as we have known for a few episodes, that her cancer is progressing. So it's not good. She's into like the pain management part of her treatment. So we just know it's growing. Like, I remember the scans that Karasik did for her back when like Meredith was still on the show, you know, when she was in Boston, like maybe 4 or 5 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not imminent, like she's gonna die tomorrow, but like, you know, it's gonna start to get worse. And it seems like, based on what she has said more recently, that she's not willing to do the crazy treatments, you know. Mm-hmm. She wants to just have as much time as possible being having as much energy as possible, and just like being able to live life to the fullest, whatever that means, in the time she has left. And of course Richard will have to respect that.
Yeah, this is hard to watch because it is Catherine, but it's also Debbie Allen, and she's a great actress, and she makes you feel it because she's shouldering all this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. She's telling Richard like it's him dying. She's like, okay, you know, yeah. And she's got like a smile on her face, even like almost like she's at peace with it. Like, listen, mm-hmm. it's progressing. I know you're gonna try to suggest a bunch of stuff. Just hey, let it go. But mm-hmm. it makes me sad because I think that shows that we're probably going to get an on-screen death from Debbie Allen's character.
No,
at some point.
I hadn't thought about it.
I mean, what do you think the cancer was going to do, Ariel?
No, I knew, but I didn't think that we would see it. I didn't think that far ahead.
Like, we were just going to get a phone call like, y'all, Debbie Allen's dead. Like, what?
I was hoping they just settled it between seasons.
Right? Like, she come back and was like, 6 months ago when Catherine right. died.
I mean, like, the great thing is
she directs episodes sometimes, so right. she can still live on behind the scenes. Like Kim Raver, our girl who plays Teddy, she directed mm-hmm. at least one of these episodes, so I'm happy yeah. to see, you know, these women directing.
But here's the thing, you know, if we're gonna get that, because and I think it has to happen, because when was the last time we like a doctor died? Because I feel like it's been a while.
Ooh. Oh my God, are we going to get Debbie Allen? I mean, Catherine and.
Oh, just kill out all Maggie. The black women. Yes.
No, what is this? Early season of Survivor?
Right. Yes. Like, screw you, Ramona.
No, right. No. I don't know. There's only 6 people on the tribe. We have to get rid of a woman.
We got to figure out a woman. Which one is black? You know, but we do have Griffin. You know, they got to keep us like a ratio. There can only be so many.
Right, unlike Twitter, we do want the ratio.
We do want the ratio. Look, I cannot take that. They cannot kill both of the black women off the show. I mean, they I almost killed Edwards and just kind of let her burn
oh my God,
to death,
they're
but
like,
save
right,
her and then
you
so
survived,
she can leave.
But now you just leave.
But you have to go. Like, but why didn't you just kill her? Because, I mean, it wasn't as sad because she didn't die, but she also burnt to a crisp and then quit her job. So she, what,
that was
whatever.
Wild.
I'm just saying.
That was wild.
Edwards, rest in peace. I guess parts of her skin.
Look, Grace was getting black, and so they're getting rid of him.
Oh, no.
They're getting rid of Maggie, her husband, and Catherine all at the same time. I mean, we can only hope they get rid of the husband, but we still have Bailey. We'll still have Griffin, so we'll keep our quota.
Yeah, I think that's important. And speaking of keeping people around, Maggie, who we know in real life is leaving the show, mm-hmm. Her and at the end of the episode, her and Amelia have their adorable we're still sisters moment, because Maggie's like, listen, I know it's only because Meredith was around, and now that Meredith's gone, I'm like overstaying my welcome. And Amelia, who, you know, I know people hate on Amelia, but when she gets it right, she gets it so right. And she's mm-hmm. like, listen, we're sisters, whether Meredith is here or not. Like, she's doing, I love the idea that she's doing her brother proud. She's doing like all these different relationships in her life proud. And these, like, she at so many points in her life, she was super messy, super unreasonable, unreliable, you know, not there for people. And here she's able to be there for her sister. And I love this. This is very sweet for me.
The sisters are doing it for themselves, Ariel. The sisters are doing it for themselves.
Have you learned nothing from these episodes?
Have you learned nothing? And love don't cause a thing. It can't keep up.
I can't believe I wrote love don't cause a thing. I'm a menace. Oh my God.
J-Lo just crashed her Fiat listening to me.
J-Lo's like, never again. No.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of crash, now we go into our last two episodes.
We haven't talked about Link. Listen, the man is on the ropes because he killed the bear. You know, like,
Right. He killed the NFL player.
Yeah, that's why this whole malpractice thing is up. Well, not malpractice, but the guy is monitoring because Link has this NFL player has died, and it's Link's fault potentially, and everybody's mad. The paparazzi's all around.
Big man,
this is
yeah.
Teddy's worst day at work this week, but don't make no mistake, it'll change tomorrow because there are worse things coming. Yeah, but you know, I feel bad for Link because it's like he's the one doctor who would care that much about it as well.
Yeah.
It felt like it's like his surgery, he's the one person who could do it. He's a big fan of this guy as well. I mean, everybody's a fan, but he's the biggest fan. You know, it's just, it's tough. I really like Link. I think Link has pretty much 100% approval rate, right? Like, he's fine.
Yeah, he's like, he hasn't done anything wrong yet, except be dumb at times. But that's like, you know, forgivable on this show.
It happens, yeah.
He's just like, he's not good with signal sometimes, or like, you know. But I think you're right. I think he's fairly unimpeachable at this point. You know, knock on wood. I don't know what he's going to do at the end of the season, but
they might give him OCD like they did Bailey just to make him annoying.
It's like, oh my God, I got staph infection.
It's like, wow. You know, like
now I'm just annoying because I'm counting on my fingers.
I was like, dear God, you know, and like not to say that people with OCD have are annoying. My mom is annoying, but she has OCD, but she's annoying without it. Blah, blah, blah. But you know, like just to like, this person seems almost too good. Let's just throw something at them.
Let's throw a curveball.
Right. It's like, what can we do?
At one point, they give him a terrible haircut. So they've already done that. So, like,
we
can just leave Link alone. I mean, him and Joe, maybe this is endgame. Who knows?
I'm telling you, this is our perfect pair. This is our new Meredith and Derek. It is.
And they're already friends. Oh, God. But that didn't work out well for Teddy and Owen. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. It's fine. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Pick your friends better, Teddy.
Okay, so now we go into episodes 11 and 12, and I mentioned them together because they're a two-parter. They didn't air on the same night as some famous Grey's two-parters did, but these are a two-parter because this episode 11 ends in a twist. But before we get there, episode 11 is called Training Day. That's not a song. That's definitely a movie. I don't know.
Is there no song called Training Day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. There's probably a song called Training Day. You should Google
that. I am, but I'm sure there's like a billion songs called Training Day. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg have a Training Day.
Okay, all right. Enough. You don't have to go for it. That's a great example.
I just really like to think that Shonda Rhimes is like listening to Method Man and like, yeah, this is the one. This is the one.
This is it. It's right here. And it's a movie. So like, it's double. It's Denzel double.
It's Denzel double.
So our favorite person, you already teased her, Addison, she's making a special appearance at Grace Sloan, and there's a new class of OBGYN trainees that are coming here from, as we already talked about, coming here from other places to be trained. And it's like really, it's simultaneously sad, but also, you know, aspirational. It's kind of thrilling. It's hopeful. It's something to, it's like a bright light in this darkness. Like, Joe literally switched the OBGYN scrubs at the beginning of the season to black because women's rights are under attack, which I thought was pretty actually badass. So Addison is here, but she's looking rough, Chappelle. I gotta say, like, from the jump, it's like, what is wrong with Addison?
Yeah, Addison Adrian Forbes Montgomery is going through. Look, you have to say the whole thing. Double certified OBGYN specializing in maternal fetal medicine, leading neonatal surgeon on the East Coast. Like, you have to give her what
first
she deserves.
First of her name. 17 times.
What are the words of House House Addison Montgomery?
Of House Addison?
You're the one who's sleeping with my husband. Yes.
We both knew immediately.
It was a fetus, you know. She's going through. I'm sad because, again, we're leaning into our agenda here, but it's at the expense of Addison, who we know she loves the little babies. She loves this part. She loves helping the pregnant women deliver their child, but she also knows that science indicates that sometimes medical abortions are necessary to live life, and also women should just have the bodily autonomy to do what they want anyway. Until that fetus is a baby, and until it's a baby, the women should have rights to their own body. That's how Addison feels. That's how Grace feels. That's why she's arming these people to do the work. The problem is, America hates women. And so they are out here like protesting these women's right to choose and basically trying to murder Addison.
Yeah, they're doxing her.
They
got
her with
all
a
her
car.
Information. we'll get to that. But yes, it's awful. She's like, and she's looking really tired and very stressed. And like, it's standing, you know, we're joking, talking about the first moment that Addison showed up where she was dressed in all black and looking like Cruella de Vil in the best way, like high fashion, expensive, everything. And here she shows up, I think wearing black as well, but like in sunglasses, giving like walk of shame, like Kardashian horribleness.
Kardashian horribleness.
And I don't want it. I don't want this for her, for our queen.
Not for queen, because she's wearing all black here, but yeah, it's definitely walk of shame or maybe like a ninja. She's like really trying to sneak in.
True, you're right. Yeah. She's trying to like very much appear not like Addison, aka she should probably dye her hair actually.
Right. Yeah, that's a dead giveaway, Addison. The bubble jacket almost saved you, but I can see.
She's down to the bubble jacket.
I was like, is that North Face? Addison, girl, stand up. You know,
it's off brand. It's like Uniqlo.
Yes.
No brand.
They're canceling this podcast, Ariel. I promise.
Oh no, nobody wants to sponsor us.
It's just Chappelle and Ariel laughing for an hour and a half.
They laugh too much. I know we're awful.
It's coming.
I mean, the show. Come on, the show is so ridiculous. So she's there. She's famous now. And it kind of felt like, I was like, was Addison on Station 19 spinoff? Because they're giving us a lot of information that we didn't know that we're just supposed to pick up on, kind of. And I was like, was there another show where this happened, where she kind of became an overnight sensation? But it doesn't matter. It's Addison. Right. I'm happy to see her. I was just curious.
Yeah.
So she's there with the mobile unit, the PRT that Bailey gave her the last time they were together, which is basically like a moving neonatal women's care facility on wheels, right? And they can like handle a lot of different things. And she takes it to places that don't have, access to women's care for all the reasons that, unfortunately, if you're watching the news, make total sense. And like I said, she's looking really tired. And she talks about she got docs, like I said. And these trainees are here to be trained by her, which is like, what an honor to come from all these different states to be trained by Addison. I selfishly love that we got, what's her name? Karina, who is OBGYN and Addison. Because Karina had left. She has since basically, we only see her in Grays sometimes. But she's basically on Station 19. Which on the one hand, I'm sad because I don't see her. But on the other hand, like, good for her that she has like more storylines, I guess, on there. But to see her and Addison work together in this episode, I guess a little bit, but more so in the next episode, was really fulfilling for me personally.
Yeah, I like Karina. It always reminds me of her brother, of course.
Yeah,
like, oh, Andre.
Yeah, but Andrea.
yeah, she's back. And the protesters are there, and they're weird. These protesters are throwing bricks in through the window. These people are just trying to do their jobs. Leave them alone.
Literally. These people who are just trying to do their job, one of whom is pregnant, this trainee, and will feature prominently in this episode and the next episode, literally is pregnant herself and is here to help other pregnant women and just women in general. Get the medical care that they need and, frankly, obviously deserve. And I did think it was funny when Bailey was like, I named this clinic after my mother. I was like, wow, Denny Duquette died for what? Like,
what? For what? For what? Why did Izzy cut the LVAD then, huh?
They renamed this clinic like seven times, and they used the $8.7 million
that Denny gave Izzy. And they opened it and they used all that money to open this clinic, literally set it up, and then they just forgot about Denny.
Miranda Bailey has been trying to forget Izzy Stevens forever. Okay. And she finally, this was the last, like, the last nail in the coffin. Like, girl, you got to go. Denny, who
indeed. It's so sad.
The protest group is outside, and it's getting like real rowdy. They don't feel safe. They're calling security. They're like, maybe we should get more security. And they call Teddy, and Teddy's like, sure, get more security than the one guy at the door.
Did you notice that we completely forgot about the bear? You know, the guy who died from the ACL injury was Teddy's biggest issue. He's like, oh my gosh, the media's here. Everything, everyone's looking at me. I'm the chief. I'm forced into this moment. But also, the protesters are outside, and now you have something bigger to worry about. Again, Teddy is in hell. I don't know what the negotiation for her salary ended up being, but she's underpaid.
It was not enough. And then I wonder if some of the protesters were like there for the NFL thing.
They're just for both.
Like, oh, wait. Yeah. They're also doing abortions here? Oh, no. And then
they're like, right? They're like, wait, we got two things to be mad about.
You're extra pissed. That one person who realized that is the one who threw the brick. Yeah. Like, this is too much.
He threw the brick like, oh, come on.
But yes, he throws the brick and it hits Blue, our Dr. Kwan, in the head. That was kind of brutal. And also, like, so ridiculous that it happened to, like, land exactly. Like, go through the window, get deflected, and hit him on the head. Like
who throws a brick? Honestly. You know,
honestly. Exactly. But a better Kwan than Addison, that's for sure. Yeah, although right, Addison, right, unfortunately, right, at the end of the episode.
Yes, but Kwan, please, if there's a brick heading toward Addison's head, you dive in front of the brick. I don't care.
It's true. Take that brick for Addison. Addison, who breaks down in this episode, this is too much. So finally, like, we're already seeing the emotional fraying when she shows up. She's looking tired, as we said. And she literally breaks down, and Bailey goes full mom on Addison, where she kind of like just cradles her head. And she's like, I got you, girl. It's okay. It's fine. She's like, oh, it's fine. Because Addison's been through a lot. This is where she reveals that she got doxxed. They have all her information. She gets death threats, obviously. She probably can't even go to the salon.
Sucks. She definitely cannot go to the salon. That is very clear here, because she looks rough. She looks rough. Also, she probably doesn't want to. She probably had very little time to maintain her Addison glow. Yeah. So these people are sapping the life from my favorite doctor of all time. This is my doctor. I know I never needed an OBGYN, but in my mind, she's like my PCP at the very least.
I would go to her.
I would too. Addison, I don't know what she would tell me.
Like, right. On my neck. What is that?
Yeah, exactly. Just look at it. So, you know, this is really bad. And then, of course, like you said, she ends up almost getting hit by, like, she didn't really get hit by the car. Like, the pregnant lady did what needed to be done. She dove in front of the car. And
this is crazy. So the twist ending, we have more to talk about in the episode, but we're on Addison, so we'll do this now. The twist ending at the end of this episode that brings us into the next episode is Addison and the pregnant resident who has like traveled there and is helping them, is one of like these trainees. She drops like her books, and here is when I was like, oh my god, she's a spy. Like, again,
she's actually not pro-choice.
I thought she was gonna be a protester. That's what I thought. I thought that she was gonna drop like a flyer, and the twist was gonna be like, I hate you. Like,
right. It's not a baby. It's a bomb. She lifts up her scrubs.
Crazy. And like, I was like, Addison, you're in danger.
The red flags were all over the place here. But instead, then a car comes running, like rushing around the corner. What did cars do? They lurch around the corner, turning. The girl, the poor resident whose name escapes me, unfortunately, who is pregnant, to be clear, again, that's very important here, gets hit by the car head on. Addison, trying to get her up, kind of gets clipped. Like, it's not even clear in this episode when it ends how it happens, but we find out, like, clipped her shoulder.
Yeah, it, like, pulls her arm too much because she's pulling the woman, and then the woman gets hit by the car, so the car throws the woman while Addison still has her. Right.
Addison's like, oh!
Yeah, so, like, again, this woman dove in front of the car for Addison, and honestly, I don't blame her.
Might as well have. And honestly, I support her. Thank God.
Saving Addison saves lives.
Saves lives because Addison can save so many lives. It's true.
It's true.
So that's the end of the episode for our lovely Addison. But just a couple of things to go through with some less important characters.
Yes. Like, yada, yada, yada.
Maggie has like a lung transplant for this girl, and it kind of goes wrong. Another classic Grey's thing where, like, they're waiting for a person to come. It reminded me of the episode of the bomb episode in season 2 where Bailey's having the baby and she's like, my husband's on his way, but then her husband gets into a car accident on the way to the hospital. Crazy.
Yeah.
And so she's waiting for her boyfriend, who happens to also be her the person who's donating a lung to her. Mm-hmm. So, or she, is it a lung? I think
it's,
I don't know,
something. It's something. I think so.
And which I was like, wow, you can survive with just one. But or maybe it's a piece of a lung. I'm not sure. But yeah, her boyfriend is on her way, is on his way there, gets into the car accident. So of course he can't donate his lung, but she's like, I just want to make sure he's okay. And it's like, well, who are you going to get your lung from? But whatever, she's in love. So Ndugu does like risky stuff to fix it, so he's proving his worth, and everyone's like, no, don't switch specialties, we love you. And he's like, but my wife doesn't respect me,
right?
And then the other thing with like the interns in this episode is Adams didn't pay the bill, the gas bill, so there's like no hot water, which sucks. And then Nick, who is like Mr. I'm gonna call him Mr. Meredith, the anesthesiologist turned, no, not anesthesiologist, he's a organ donor surgeon, transplant surgeon, thank you. He bonds with Adams because he kind of like sees himself as like a Lucas Adams type. And Lucas is like, now that Meredith left, why am I even here? And I'm like, this is what Nick should be asking himself. So this is crazy.
Yes, get the hell out of here.
Lucas will help him realize that he needs to go chasing in Baston after Meredith. And then the other quick thing here that happens is Mackie actually asks Nick about Meredith. Like, have you spoken to her? And he's like, yeah, she'll text me like once a week. And Maggie's like, that's cold. And
yeah,
that's kind of all we get.
Right. And it's like, Maggie, you got a lot of nerve. Your husband Maggie, right there.
Maggie is literally like so bored with her love life that she's like, I need to ask Nick about Meredith because Meredith clearly won't tell her about it. But again, the twist ending is like when this car comes around and hits the pregnant resident and Addison. So we go in to episode 12 called Pick Yourself Up, which is like a little rude when you know, under the circumstances of having just gotten hit by a car, it's like you can't just like pick yourself up.
Get up, Addison. Get the hell up. Stand up. You and this pregnant lady, pick yourselves up. So you got work to do.
Up. This is our fifth and final episode of this batch of March. Wow, what a time. And Karina is there, like I said, to accept the pregnant girl and Addison. I love the Karina Addison dynamic, because Addison was like, what are you talking about? I can't understand your accent. I'm just kidding, that didn't happen. But the hospital goes into lockdown, of course, because Teddy's like, maybe we should do something about it.
Somebody call the chief. Wait.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Okay, so Dr. Kwan is okay, no serious trauma from the literal brick that flew through the window and hit him in the head.
he's fine.
They do like a test and everything, like it's Amelia has to be like, did you even get a head CT, can we go? And like literally she makes him go and do it, which is great because it means he has no serious trauma. Yasuda is not okay, she literally has a panic attack, and Dr. Weber finds her in the hall and he's like, Yasuda, are you okay? Like, no, she's not okay. She's clearly having a panic attack.
You're a doctor.
Right. Don't you recognize the symptom?
How long has it been? Again, what do they pay Weber to do?
Right. Weber just walks around the halls, like looking for upset people to give advice to.
He walks around going, are you okay?
The answer is never yes, because this is Grace Sloan. Like, nobody is ever okay. Sometimes there's a bomb, sometimes there's a process, sometimes there's a brick flying through the wall, the window.
And it's all in two episodes. Yes. Ariel, here's the thing. Yasuda, I love you, babe. Love you. If this is going to give you a panic attack, you haven't seen the previous 18 seasons, because what are you going to do when the bomb shows up? What are you going to do when the shooter shows up? When the plane crashes, babe?
I was going to say, what would she have done in the forest when the
right?
When
this, the is plane nothing. Crashed? This is nothing.
You're
this
just
is
cutting
nothing.
Your teeth. You're cutting the right. teeth. Your teeth on the Grey's drama.
The hospital hasn't been held hostage by cyber criminals. Look. You what, ma'am? If this is
nobody got electrocuted, nobody
right.
got hit by
I love you, Suda, but babe, this is like grade school grades. This is baseline grades. One of your fellow interns hasn't gotten dragged in here, you know, like on a gurney. Like, you're fine. You're fine. I'm not telling her to grow up, but
no,
this is crazy.
I know you
need to
mean.
Grow up. I said it. Grow up.
She's Weber basically tells her, like, you know what? You can stay in this room until you're ready to grow up.
Matter of fact, get out the hallway.
just stay here.
We can't have you out in the hallway having a panic attack.
Right. People might think this is not a place to work. People might think they're unsafe at Grace Sloan. So you need to go into that. You go hide in the other room.
Yes. And speaking of like pushing through it and just like growing up, we have Addison, who thankfully only has a dislocated shoulder. And I'm not saying that's not painful. We see it happen. We've seen it happen on Survivor. She is literally yelling, pop it back in. Like, she needs to go help the pregnant lady who actually got hit by the car. She's like, just pop it back in. And then finally Link is like, okay, count to three, whatever. He pops it back in and she's like, Griffith, come with me. Like, so badass Addison here.
Yes, but also to say she only has a dislocated shoulder, ma'am, you have a huge laceration on your head. Maybe look, Addison, I know you're like the baddest doctor we have here, and you really want to save this particular pregnancy, but I'm sure there has to be another OBGYN in the vicinity who can handle this without you walking around here in your like hospital gown. She's not in scrubs anymore. No. She looks like a patient who's gone rogue. You just like left the table and just started like barking orders at people, like, hand me 10 blade now. I was like, ma'am, you need to go get a CT scan.
Right. We need to rule out a concussion. Like, come on. But it's Addison. Nobody's going to tell her no. And it's just, you know, obviously we keep saying how, you know, Gray's here is like wearing his heart on its sleeve, and it's really getting into this, like the danger of providing this kind of care with like these kinds of protests and, you know, the kind of like warfare, basically, for lack of a better word, that these kinds of doctors are under at this point. And it's just, it is pretty cool, very sad and tragic, but it's cool to see Addison, especially, who we love, be like, go through war and have like this wound, for lack of a better word, right here, dislocated shoulder. And it's like, she's going to keep going. And now she's got the laceration. She's like wearing the trauma on her face. And like, she has battle scars now, but she's still Addison and she's still badass. And she's going to like save people. So it is kind of nice to see, even though we don't want to see her hurt at all.
Right. And this is a teaching hospital. And so I learned in this episode about the warfare, because I knew that there were protesters. Yes. But I, you know, Grace likes to take stuff from the headlines a lot of time and insert it. And I knew people were protesting, but I didn't know it got that real, you know. And now I'm like, oh, I'm afraid for these doctors' lives now, you know. Yeah. I used to be on the advisory board for Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And even then I was concerned. I was like, oh, someone like, if someone sees me, because I think I got like a shirt, you know, because I like to wear shirts. And I hung a t-shirt that said like Planned Parenthood, and people would look at me crazy. And I told the advisory board people, I was like, look,
maybe not
I like doing this, but can we just hide the fact that I'm not saying I'm ashamed to be
right.
I'm not ashamed to be pro-choice, but I don't want to get hit with a brick. So just say like, I'll do the work behind the scenes, you know.
Maybe
just
we have shirts that are smaller, or not the shirts, but like the print or something.
My shirt will be tight like Link's.
Oh my god, like, but yeah, no, I see what you mean. It can be scary out there, and especially depending on where you are. So they had to take the baby out, even though this was harrowing when the pregnant resident who got hit by the car was like, no, don't take the baby out, because she has all the knowledge, right? She's like, it's only 28 weeks, its lungs aren't you know, fully, it's a boy, actually, she knows it's a boy, and I think she named Connor, like, his lungs haven't fully grown yet, we can't take him out. But like, Addison comes in and she's like, we got to take the baby out if either mother or baby have a chance to survive. If they want a chance, we got to take this baby out. So they take it out. So basically Addison's storyline becomes, we need to protect the baby. And it's really sad to see a baby that small. Like, obviously it's like a little doll, but it's no less horrible. It's no less like heart-wrenching to have to watch her like give this little baby CPR with like two fingers and like literally collapsed lung, like have to aspirate the lung. Like, there's a lot going on with this kid and her, and I think it's is it Yasuda?
Well, Joe is going through.
Oh no, it's Griffiths. It's Griffiths.
Yeah, Griffiths going through, and they're all going through at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, like Yasuda is the one who's having the panic attacks.
Yeah, Griffiths is the one. Griffiths is like, the one that's with that's with Addison at this point.
So yeah, she's her sidekick in this
planet for her. And then she's like, "Welcome to the NICU." I was like, "Ooh,
right, like this is how it goes down here." I'm Addison, baby. But to that, this is every scene Addison's ever been in Grey's Anatomy. Addison's Addison's lines, I could write an Addison script right now. It's walk in, look like a badass, demand privileges, even though you don't work here.
Yeah.
And then
grant me privileges so I can save her life.
I have to take this baby out now. This is like literally every day that Addison has ever walked into a hospital. That baby needs to come out. It's like, Addison, the baby's
Addison, a one act play.
Right.
Come out now.
That baby needs to come out now and see, you know?
Grammy privileges, Richard. I remember that. I think it was like when she was first there. So, and this is again all the more impressive. It's always impressive to see Addison, but like she's literally doing it with like her left shoulder or like her left arm in a sling. Mm-hmm. So she's like, you know, putting on her stethoscope and she's like listening and her arm is on the sling. She's doing CPR. Her arm is on the sling. Like she is in pain. And Amelia does like looking at her and be like, she's doing that thing with her lip where she's biting her lip because I know she's in pain. So I do love that her and Amelia get to have like a nice quiet moment. Obviously they have history and you know, the spirit, the specter of Derek is in the room and their love, I think, is lovely. Any moment with them is going to be gold. So I just love that she's like, Addison, tell me for real, how are you feeling? Because I know you're looking, she basically would have said, because you're looking rough.
You look a mess, girl. You're going through, ain't you? And Addison's like, I'm fine. And Amelia's like, no, you're not. Stop it.
Yeah.
Amelia has a billion sisters. Like, she has like her birth sisters. And then she has Maggie and Meredith and Addison as well. Yeah. You know, she's just stacking them up.
Yeah, she's good with the in-laws, apparently, because like you said, she has all like her blood sisters, and we met some of them. We met Amy's Amelia, but I'm trying to think. We did meet the one played by that lady who was in Bicel Tenniel Man. It doesn't matter. We met a couple of them, but now we know her non-blood sisters better than her blood sisters, and we love all of them, honestly, or at least in some form.
Yeah.
Okay, so Winston, he's checking in on Maggie. He's like, oh my god, because everyone's checking in on everybody else who could have been even within 10 feet of the clinic that got attacked. So it's like, did she go out for lunch? Oh my god, maybe she went to the clinic. I should go check on her. Like, everyone's just like, okay, calm down, relax. Like, I know that it was attacked, but it's a little much.
Yeah, like, calm down. You just need to calm down a little bit. The Maggie storyline is fun because Maggie is like, I remember that procedure that we did together? I'm kind of getting published and it's all like, they gave me all the credit. Isn't that crazy?
Oops.
He's like, so you mean to tell me you didn't respect them enough? Respect me? No, I respect you. I promise. Ooh. I told them you were involved. And he's like,
yes.
It doesn't feel like you did.
No, she said my favorite line. She's like, it's just clickbait.
Yeah, like maybe I'm attractive. Like, look, it's like you put my name in it, people gonna click it. If you put your name in it, you know, what are they gonna do?
It's less clickbait with your
right.
name.
Right. Like they said Maggie did it, and everybody was like, yes, queen. But if it's like yes, queen and king,
there's no saying for both of those. Right. It's just queen.
Yes, queen.
But yes, he is not happy. This is like the nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned for their relationship, because he's just like, wow, this thing that we legit did together and we came up with together. She's like, yeah, but I told them. And she's trying to get Teddy to like issue a retraction or a statement, as if that would even matter. Like, as we know, the first news out the door is the one that matters. So like, it doesn't matter what you say after that.
Yeah, and he's sick of her shit. And honestly, she didn't really do anything wrong. Like, let's be clear.
But it's
we're
like
laughing and joking about it. Yeah, we're laughing and joking about it. But he's like, you don't even take responsibility for what you did. She's like, because I didn't do anything. It's really hard. It's really hard for me to take responsibility. Like, she says, I can't control what they write about me. He's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. Like, yeah, I'm sure I cannot control.
He says, he is not happy. He says, say you respect me and mean it. And she's like, I respect you. And he's like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, he's like, I said and mean it. She's like,
You weren't listening.
You would. I said it, but damn.
Oh, yeah. We don't like that. In the silly storyline for the episode, you know, there are old people. They get gonorrhea. They all give it to each other. Sad, but good for them that they're having sex. That's basically the extent of that.
But, okay, we're having sex, but let's talk about promiscuity here. You're old, but that does not mean you can just do what you want to do without protection. And why are we messing around within the friend group? You know, this one guy is making his way around. Yeah, he's Alex Karevin his way around the group, and I don't love it.
Where's Olivia?
Right. Don't love it at all. We also get like some random Station 19 stuff with Ben and that woman.
Yeah, it's Karina's wife, and I'm sorry to say it's a no for me.
Yeah, I'm good. Don't need it, Karina. I'm not saying Karina could do better, just less boring person.
I love the Karina part of it, but it's sort of like she's my wife. I'm like, news to me.
Yeah, like really? Really? Is that what we're doing here? Okay. Whenever I see Maggie and her husband together, I always think about that Demi Lovato meme where it's like, get a job, get away from her. I was like, like, change your specialty, get away from her.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stay away from each other. Basically, stop giving each other things.
Please.
Bailey spends the episode trying to save the mother. So, you know, Addison obviously is like helping and does save and stabilize by the end of the episode the like 26-week-old baby, I think he is. Like, you know, obviously super preemie. Bailey is tasked with trying to save the mother. And her and Yasuda have to do like the heroic things. Yasuda kind of comes down from her like, you know, panic attack, which is great for her. And Joe has been dealing with, this broke me. Joe has been dealing with so much. Obviously, she's been OBGYN for a while, even though she wasn't in like the Bailey and Addison episode. She still obviously is like dealing with a lot of stuff on her end. And she was, around and helping the patient, the resident mother patient who had the kid, the preemie, the one that got hit by a car. So in this moment where they kind of do like a little bit of a time jump and a montage that like the mom is okay and then the baby's okay and then the mom can finally like FaceTime with the kid and like the mom loses it. There's actually a really harrowing part where she first wakes up from the coma, the resident mother.
Oh yeah, that got me.
She like looking at her stomach like, oh my God, where's my baby? Like she's worried that the baby's dead and it's like so horrible because just for like that split second, you know how horrifying that must be.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm here. The husband's like, I'm here. I got you. Our baby's fine. And then there's that relief and she gets the baby. And this is when Joe like walks out of the room and you can tell she's about to lose it. And she goes onto the elevator and she sees Link there and he basically helps her. And he's like, it's okay, girl. I'm here for you. You can let go now. Like you can let loose. And she breaks down crying. And this is great acting from our girl, Joe.
Look, I did not break down crying. But if I was a breakdown crying type person, I too would have broke down crying with her. And not because she was going through a lot, because I did feel that moment too where the woman can't find the baby for a split second. But I was like, oh, Link. Yeah, y'all are so good together. Look at
him being all supportive.
Right, a husband.
Like, right, a husband even. And the other people try to get on the elevator and he's like, absolutely not.
Absolutely. Get your ass off this elevator. You see her having a hard
time. Take the stairs.
Right. Like, she's having a hard time, but also, I might just seal the deal.
You know, right, like, this is it. This is my moment. Oh my opening God, this up. Is so sick.
I mean, look, he tried it. He was drunk and she didn't go for it. Now he's like, at least she's emotionally distraught. Maybe this is the one.
Maybe she's more emotionally available now.
Maybe.
No, but I mean, he, to his credit, he doesn't even touch her.
No, he's amazing.
He's just trying to be there for her because, they're friends. And then, of course, the most important part of the episode, Addison driving away in her, like the cowgirl that she is, into the Wild West with still her busted arm and the, whatever face laceration. She now is back in the PRT and she's going to drive it and help the Heartland. And we love that for her.
I feel like they should disguise the PRT better. Like, it should not look like an armored car. I think it should be,
it should look like an ice cream truck.
Right. She should be able to just drive up to people. People like, oh, yeah, that old thing. Don't worry about that. Like, these people are crazy. They try to hit me or
no ice cream.
Right. Don't easy mistake to make. They tried to hit this woman with a car. I just feel like you should be a little bit more discreet, Addison.
Yeah, it's all. I'm worried.
Get
about
this woman
her.
A I'm private like, jet or something,
Yes, I'm like, is she gonna be in danger still? Like, are we gonna hear some horrible story about how she got something or other? I hope not. I hope not. For
no, she's fine. Addison's fine.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's episode 12.
Ariel, we did it.
Up. We picked ourselves up from March from being late, and we did it.
We did it. People are going to either really enjoy this podcast or also be like, why are they just laughing at each other? And that's okay.
That's fair. We welcome the criticism. Find us on Twitter, whatever.
Yes.
But speaking of Twitter, Chappelle, what else do you have going on? Where can people find you besides this stuff?
people can follow me on Twitter and at Chappelle's_show to send me all their criticism about my Grey's Anatomy jokes, because some of them were, you know, a little, it's Grey's. This is soap opera. We're going to do the things. But I'll also be tweeting out the links to the shows and stuff I'm talking about on Twitter. So on post-show recaps here, I am talking about Bel Air every week with Puya. And so we're wrapping up season 2 of Bel Air pretty soon on Bel Air, a post-show recap. Myself and Gia Worthy are covering Abbott Elementary on Abbott Elementary, a post-show recap. And then me, LaTanya, and Mari are talking about Snowfall on the PSR Connect or the on post-show recaps as well. So check out all of those three podcasts for the PSR Network. Over on Rob Has a Podcast, still talking about Netflix shows. We recently talked about the Rob Lowe movie, television show that I can never think of the name of it. It's like something. And so we unbalanced. Unholy. No, that's the Sam Smith.
Yeah.
Yes. At the coffee shop. I'm not quite sure what the lyrics mean.
Actually, I don't want this podcast to have to get taken down, but for us,
Okay, so check out the Netflix show Unstable and find out what Rob and I thought about it by listening to the podcast on Nothing But Netflix. And then also, I was just on the Survivor B&B with Mike and Liana. And so I'm talking about this week's episode of Survivor season 44. And it was unhinged. We talked a lot about one player's large member. A lot about it. So if you want to hear what that was about, you know, go check that out.
Was it Link? No, I gotta listen.
Anyway, so then also I will be covering Big Brother Canada this week with Rob Cicinino, Puya and Liana, I think. Ooh. And so that's going to be fun too. And so check that out as well. And follow me on Twitter, of course, at Chappelle's_show. Again, to keep up with all of that.
Amazing. I'd want to listen to all of that. I would listen right now if I could. But it's actually late. I'm probably going to go to bed.
It's very late.
But I am also on Twitter at that other Ariel. You know, retweeting all of my links to things that I'm covering with some random thoughts in between. I'm covering Great Expectations, the FX on Hulu show with Grace. It's actually really good. I'm sorry, people who don't like it, but that show is good. Olivia Colman is a queen, speaking of Addison Queen. also covering the Netflix show Dark. It's a rewatch. It's me, Grace, and DM Philly. Full spoilers. That show is crazy. If you like, you know, time travel-y, complicated universe stuff. It's only 26 episodes total. That's been a blast to revisit that. And also covering movies with Grace. Pusher Recaps Theater. We just covered Super Mario Brothers. We'll be covering Air in the next couple of days. So look out for that. And I think that's everything. So we'll be back with our April episode deep dive, hopefully, definitely a lot sooner than in the month than this one came out. I mean, honestly, I was expecting it to come out way later, so I'm actually happy that it's coming out in like the first,
it's like in 2 weeks.
There's a trial period, but we're finding our way. We're only at this point, we're only one episode behind, so it's great. We'll be back as Grey's Anatomy barrels towards its finale. You know, we're in the final stretch as far as I'm concerned. But until next time, this is Grey's Anatomy's Anatomy, and you should go get that thing checked out. Like that thing in your face. Okay. Bye-bye.